Good morning. It's great to see everybody this morning. Had a brother recently ask me, are you going to speak the truth or are you going to confuse everybody? And I, of course, immediately went to a verse that I said, well, you have some responsibility in that. And of course, that on a serious note, of course, Acts 17, verse 11. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So, yes, it is my responsibility to stand before you and speak the truth from God's word. The only truth that there is, of course, but I would also encourage you, don't just assume I am. I appreciate your encouragement, but it is each of our responsibilities to see that what's being said is from God's Word. So let's all continue to do that and remember all our responsibility in speaking His Word. And, of course, that leads us to our study, lesson three of four lessons. Oh, how I love your law, from Psalm 119, a study of Psalm 119. And remember, what we've been trying to do is we've taken that chapter, the longest chapter in the Bible. When you think about the longest passage of Scripture in God's Word is about God's Word. There's so much to learn from that. And what we've tried to do, we started first, remember, with the eight different words for God's Word, the eight synonyms for His will. And then last week we talked about then with God's Word, what are we to do and not do? And how are we to do that? And we can pull out all these different phrases and passages from just this chapter that we're studying to do just that. And we're going to review that. And I know we have to be careful with review, but I think that'll be a good introduction and lead into today's lesson. And that would, if we talked last week about the what and the why, or what and the how, we're going to talk today then about the why. And of course, the why would be God. And we're going to look at God specifically from Psalm 119. And as you're going to notice, and as you probably already have in your own study, as you looked at this chapter, just how much there is to learn about who God is, what He has done, what He's doing, and what He will do. Just from this one chapter. So that's going to be most of our morning today. So great to see everybody here. So glad you come here for our Sunday morning Bible class. I think everybody enjoyed, of course, getting out with the fall weather. Enjoying that, of course, and thanks to God for that. Before we get started, I've asked John Davis to lead us in a prayer. Of course, prayer request, Hyder's most recently. Of course, we have many to be thinking about, but we'll begin with them, with Virginia and the loss of her mom and her services recently, and then Burl dealing with his health issues. Others that we want to include with them in our prayer request this morning. Clarence and Ola Jean Feeney. They continue to have their challenges, health challenges specifically. Chase? Is that this? That's this Tuesday. Okay. From the earthquake, yeah. And when are you going? This Friday? Okay. So let's remember Chase's dad. He has his eye surgery this Tuesday. And then the people in Morocco and Libya from the earthquake. And then Chase will be traveling to Eureka Springs this Friday. Others.
Did you say Jim McDonald lost his wife?
Yeah, we remember that last week, but we can continue to remember that. We've had several lose loved ones. Just remember Jim McDonald, loss of Hazel. Okay, let's all bow our heads together then as we pray.
Our God and Father in heaven, we want to thank you so very much for this day that you blessed us with. Heavenly Father, we ask that you watch over us as we go through this period in time of worship. We thank you so much for the opportunity we have to come together in your name. Heavenly Father, there's many that we need to pray for among our number and those that we love. We ask that you especially look after the hiders at this point in their lives with the loss they've had and with the health issues that they are dealing with at this time. We also ask that you watch over the Feenies. Heavenly Father, be with them as they deal with their health struggles. We also ask that you be with Chase's dad, help him to come through the surgery well, and help everything go as planned. We ask that you also be with him as he travels. Heavenly Father, there's those around the world that are dealing with natural causes that have caused a little bit of trouble or a lot of trouble in their lives, the earthquakes in particular lately in Morocco and other places. We also ask that you be with Jim McDonald. We ask that you watch over him, give him strength and courage as he still deals with the loss of Hazel. Heavenly Father, as we go throughout this period of worship and study this morning, help us to be focused and help us to look to you and think about you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I think that's a really good reminder. We often, of course, as you well know, we go from week to week with prayer requests, and Sandy and Johnny do a good job keeping us updated in the bulletin. And when it comes to loss, even after a week or a few weeks, that, of course, all those families that deal with loss continue to, and we want to continue to remember all of them in our prayers. And I know if I start listing them now, I am going to list some. That won't catch all of them in the previous weeks, but with Jim, with Norma, with her brother, of course, the Dennis Smith family, Laura Luna, with her dad, of course, Virginia, we just mentioned, we have had a lot of loss here recently, and we want to continue to remember those families in our prayers, and know that those families, after a week or two, are still, of course, needing our prayers. For that, so let's do that. Psalm 119, oh, how I love your law. Remember, we started with the eight synonyms of the will of God, and I think that's a good example. I won't read all those. You can read those again for yourself just for the sake of time and review, but as you look back over those again, real good reminder for us of the Hebrew and Greek languages and what English language tries to do to help us to see what those words mean. And here we have, when we think about the will of God or God's word, we have eight different words that represent that. Just trying to wrap our heads around just what God's word means and what all is involved. And that's so true with so much of the translation from the older languages to English for us to understand in English. And why it's so important that we study and we continue to study. Tommy brought to my attention another resource, I think called esword.com, or I think it might be .net. And just look for those kind of resources and find those tools that can help you to study more and more of God's Word and what it means. And I've mentioned to you before, I use the Bible app often, and I can click on one verse, and I can have a list of the different translations and just hit compare, and it just lists that same verse with all those translations and gives us, I think, a little bit better idea of what the word actually means. But when we talk about Psalm 119 with the eight different words for God's word, we need to think about all of that together, and that is a challenge for us. And then last week we got into what we do with that. If that's God's word, as we know it is, then what are we to do with that? And what we tried to do was take those italicized words or all the words or phrases found in Psalm 119 related to our action, and just kind of quickly I'll go through those as you remind yourselves of those. We value it. We pursue it. We study it. Then go to the next, and we act on that word. And then I like Chase's word better than the one we had there before. We follow then his word. And then what we do not do, we don't give in, and we don't neglect. And again, just try to come up with phrases or words that enveloped all of those words we see in Psalm 119 about what not to do as well as what to do. And then how do we do it? I think it's interesting to note, remember last week I had you kind of look at Psalm 119 and highlight different things that we're looking for. So how do we do that? We do that with our heart, our whole heart. And we'll pause there just for a little bit. John, let kind of remind ourselves of those words we see in Psalm 119. And we hunger the how with our heart, and we hunger for it. And then the next two, the humility that's involved as we think about God's word, and then earnestly. I like the word hunger and the word earnestly. Okay, it's a want to, a real desire to want God's word, and then the effort that goes into pursuing that earnest effort as we look at God's word, learn more about it, and of course live our lives by it. And then a couple more, the glory involved, the praise as we think about God's word, and the compassion. In other words, it's not just about us, it's about looking at others and how others view or don't view. In this case, when we think about compassion, how they maybe don't view God's word. What's our attitude when we see others not viewing God's word as we should, or as we do, hopefully? So then that brings us then to the why. And of course, the why, if that if last week was the what and the how, the why, of course, is God. And what we're going to see, I think, in this brief time we have together this morning is just how much there is just in Psalm 119. If you try to draw out, and what we've tried to, what you'll see that we've tried to do here, we've tried to draw out all the phrases or words in relationship to God. And of course, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. So I want you to kind of have that in your mind as we go through these next few slides. But before we get to the next one, I'll try to sum it up. In fact, we're going to look at the wonder and delight, the truth and righteousness, the life and salvation, the strength and courage, the understanding and wisdom, blessing and eternity. And that just, of course, is the tip of the iceberg for who God is, what he's done for us, what he is doing, and what he will do. So I want you to think about those words. And again, some of those, of course, in fact, probably most of them, actually. Let's see. Yeah, I think all of them are words that come out of Psalm 119, and what we've tried to do in this study is then take all those phrases and kind of categorize, if you will, those phrases or words from Psalm 119 into one of those for us to think about who God is, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. So I want us to think about that as we study this morning. And I think I want remind us, of course, and I think you'll see this as we go through these slides, as we think about who God is and all these different descriptors, all these different things he's done for us, what he has done, what he is doing, what he will do. I want to encourage us to think, wow, this is just out of one chapter in the Bible. So I want to encourage us to continue to study throughout the Bible. I think Ron mentioned last week, he thought of, right off the top of his head, some passages that weren't even in Psalm 119, and that's exactly what I want us to think about, is as we study Psalm 119, think about all the different passages and the theme of God's Word throughout Scripture And what we've tried to do, as you'll see in the next slides, I've tried to draw some of those passages out that will come to your mind as we think about these things. So first of all, his wonder and delight. There where you see, behold wondrous things, your wondrous works. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I'm afraid of your judgments. And then the numbers next to it are the verses out of Psalm 119 that those are found in. Okay? And then delight. I mentioned to you last week when we were talking about what we do, you know, sometimes delight's used as a verb. So, you know, you might think at first, well, why didn't we have delight on the what we do last week? And one of the things I mentioned last week, I wanted you to think about a little bit. Where does delight come from? I mean, why do we delight, verb form? Why is something our delight in the noun form? And I think we all agree, and we'll see more and more, it's because of who God is. When you think about something you really enjoy, it comes from that thing or that activity, whatever it is, that you enjoy so much. It's not that I make my effort to enjoy that. There's something about that that makes me enjoy it. That's why we've got delight and wonder with who God is. So delight, actually, interestingly enough, is mentioned several times. All those verses, you see delight. And I don't know if you can tell, at 16, 35, and 70, they're kind of italicized. Those are in the verb form. In other words, I delight, I will delight. Whereas the others are in the noun form. That is my delight. And remember, all this is related to God's Word. Everything we're looking at here is related to God's Word. Any one of those eight synonyms that we first learned about. So, a delight as much as in all riches. And then some other passages related to something that we really enjoy, really value. Better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. So what is our attitude towards God's Word? Hopefully we can use some of these same words. But the reason we can is because of who God is. We delight in His Word because of who He is. So think of His wonder and delight. Turn over to John chapter 5. Of course, keep your spot at Psalm 119. I've just got a part of this particular passage let's look at for just a little bit. Beginning in verse 19, so Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He Himself is doing. And greater works than these will He show Him, the Son, so that you may marvel." So that you may marvel because of what the Father has shown us through His Son. So think about what we notice. We all walked out this morning and noticed the beauty of the fall. That, of course, is from God, wasn't it? We gave thanks to Him. So let's constantly be looking at the wonder and delight that God provides for us. And in this particular case, His Word, the wonder and delight that we see in His Word. That's why the main reason you're here in Bible class this morning is to do just that. The main reason you need to make sure that this is coming from God's Word and study for it for yourself to know that it is. The wonder and delight of His Word. And the next, the truth and righteousness. As I try to organize all His Word into these different categories, of course, as you can see from this one thing that came to my mind as I thought about truth and righteousness is from Ephesians chapter 6, First two things we need in the armor of God. Isn't that interesting? The belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. And then look at what Psalm 119 says. And of course, righteousness, verse 40, I know your rules are righteous. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. Your righteousness is righteous forever. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Every one of your righteous rules endures forever, for all your commandments are right. The word of truth, your law is true. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. The sum of your word is true. All your commandments are sure. Truth and righteousness that we have because of God. Because that's what He is. He's truth and righteousness, isn't He? Those numbers next to those are where you find those particular phrases and passages. And notice a couple of those, how they're together. Notice, it's interesting to note, in verse 142, your righteousness is righteous forever, your law is true. One verse. And then notice the other one that we're also familiar with, 160. The sum of your word is truth, every one of your righteous rules endures forever. It's no wonder that the first two things we need in the armor of God are the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Probably should pause there for a minute. I should have after wonder and delight. Any thoughts about His wonder and delight or His truth and righteousness that come to mind? We need to, of course, study of who God is a lifelong. I think that, as I think back over the years, I think that's kind of one of the frustrations I've had is I feel like sometimes I needed to know everything all at once. And then when I think about, as I'm learning more now compared to, you know, what I thought I knew when I was younger, we just can't learn all of this at one time. You know, from the moment we become a Christian, we don't have all of this at once. We have the knowledge we need to know who Jesus is and to make the decision for Him to be our Lord and everything that goes with that to begin our Christian walk, our journey. But then to learn more and more about who God is, that's going to be and is a lifelong endeavor, isn't it? I'm not sure, as I think about all these passages from Psalm 119, if I would have had the capacity to understand all of that when I first became a Christian. But we need to, the rest of our life, spend it in learning who God is and more about Him, especially in regards to any time we have questions. Ron? Right. Right. Yeah. I think what a great reminder that is in Psalm 119 when you think of all the phrases related to truth and righteousness, what God's trying to get us to see. And when we have those questions, it is hard when we look at the culture around us in society right now to see that, and that's why it's so important that we focus on His Word. I'm so thankful that you're here this morning just for us to study together this one chapter to remind us of what that means. And then as we go throughout the week, to remember that. Next week, we're going to take all the phrases that are, of course, the whole chapter you could take as a prayer, but the phrases specifically that are prayerful is what we're going to focus on the next week. So next, life and salvation. Life and salvation. And of course, John chapter 11, 26. Anybody remember the context this was in? What happened in John 11? Yeah, Christ raised Lazarus. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. When we think about the salvation God has given us through his Son and the life that he gives us through his Son. Remember, Christ said that you may have life and have it more what? Abundantly. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that, of this life. That's why one of my favorite passages, Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, but especially verses 25 and 26, far better to be with Christ, but till that time, each day, we're to help each other grow in the faith, see the joy in the faith, for others to see Christ in us. Every day we get up, one of my favorite songs, Father God, that phrase, just for today. Probably use those three words in my, well, I know I do, in my prayers daily, just for today. I get to thinking about the rest of the week, or I get to thinking about maybe what's already happened, just for today. But God wants us to have a wonderful life. He's created the whole universe for us. This fall season comes from that creation. That's because of God's love for us. Let's always remember what God has done for us and created us in his image. Wow. He's created the whole universe for us. He's made us in his image. And best of all, he sent his only Son to save us from our sins, to give us this life and the promise, and then raise them up so we can have the promise of the life to come. Doesn't get any better through any other way than that. So life and salvation, your hands have made and fashioned me. Again, remember, all these come from Psalm 119. Of course, life itself, for by them you, and again, remember, all these phrases are related to God's word. Some of them are pretty clear because of what I've included, but when I've included the one words like life, salvation, that's related to God's word. For by them you have given me life. And of course, salvation. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. And then the end, as my reward. And then songs in the house of my sojourning. Did you have a song in your heart when you woke up this morning? I'd encourage you to think about that. Or a song as you lay down, as you went to bed at night, that was on your mind. I would think about that. Yeah, Chase. Yeah, the truth will set you free. Yes, good. Truth will set you free. Pardon? Yes, yeah. Remember Jesus. First and foremost, then those who fear you shall see me and rejoice. Again, back to that passage in Philippians, are we living a life that others see Christ in us? That's our goal. And if someone happens to commend you for something in particular, be able to use that moment to share Christ with others. You know, thanks, but I only did that because of what Christ has done for me and trying to be like Christ. What a great opportunity. Not that we're trying to, I guess the phrase I haven't heard in a while, holier, you know, holier than thou attitude, not that at all. Just simply to share with others. I'm just trying to be like, that's be like Christ. That's how Christ wants me to be, and use that as an opportunity to share Christ with others. And for all my ways are before you. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast. And that could be, of course, a prayer that we'll look at next week as we think about that. And then next, strength and courage. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Of course, when we looked at all the passages from Psalm 119, we're going to look at here in the next couple of minutes. I thought of strength and courage. Of course, strength, of course, came out right there, at verse 28, very specifically. But you'll notice some of the other phrases and words, I think, definitely can be related to courage. We're going to talk about here in just a minute as you read those. But, of course, when I thought about strength and courage, I thought about Joshua chapter 1. Let's look at, start in verse 5. Start in verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So remember, the strength and courage we're going to talk about here a little bit more is from God. I think, I know I'm definitely guilty of this, is sometimes thinking I need to be strong and courageous. I do, but I need to recognize that strength and courage is from God. And the strength and courage that comes from God, it's the only strength and courage, because any strength and courage that I might be able to muster up myself selfishly, or thinking that, you know, it's all about me, or I'm the only one that can do that, is definitely not the strength and courage we're talking about here. Definitely not the strength and courage God wants us to have as we go throughout every day. If we rely on His strength and courage, wow, that's going to help us. Think about that as we think about these phrases from Psalm 119. Strengthen me, enlarge my heart. Great peace have those who love your law. Peace. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And it only can come from God. Nothing can make them stumble. Hope, the earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. And then look at this next group as we think about courage. Comfort in my affliction. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. Not be put to shame. An answer for him who taunts me. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. And of course, the command, and we even, there in that passage in Joshua, you catch that in that last verse? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. And you rebuke the insolent, accursed ones. So the courage that we have with all that we face in the world around us, I know every one of us, whether it's family members, co-workers, just what we see in the news, which of course is the main reason I don't watch news anymore. People have to keep me up to date on what's going on. Is the things that go on around us, we can have the courage, the courage that comes from God to deal with all our relationships and all that's going on around us, and the strength, of course, to get through that. But remember, the strength and courage is that from God that He provides for us. Any comments, questions on that? Okay, and the next, understanding and wisdom. I think part of my study time came at the time we were reading Isaiah, some of the chapters of Isaiah in our daily Bible reading. And I love that passage from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Specifically, this one particular name for Christ, Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. I'm blessed to have lived my life with a counselor. I couldn't even begin to tell you how many ways she has counseled me over the years in a very good way. Always comes up with things that my reaction is, you are so smart, and I mean that in a very positive way. But we all have the Wonderful Counselor, of course, Jesus Christ. Again, think about these phrases as we think about God's Word. You have taught me more understanding than all my teachers. I understand more than the aged. The unfolding of your words give light, it imparts understanding to the simple. They are my counselors, wiser than my enemies. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So the only true understanding and wisdom, again, we can have is from God. So let's always be looking toward His Word as we think about who He is and, of course, the Wonderful Counselor that He is. The understanding and wisdom that only comes through Him. Any thoughts, questions on that? You don't have to share thoughts. I know there's a lot of thoughts going through your mind right now, but feel free if you have a question or comment, speak up. Okay, and then next, I think we're coming along okay on time. Blessing and eternity. Blessing and eternity. I love the passage from Ecclesiastes. He has put eternity in a man's heart. And of course, we're all here because we know what's coming. But even someone who doesn't know God, doesn't know His Son yet, they've got some kind of longing in their heart about there's something more to this that's coming later. There's something more to life. There's something more to after this life. Yeah, some people might say there's nothing after this life. But I'd say if you'd sit down with any of those people and start to have a conversation and ask them particular questions, if they would own up to it, they would realize that there's something more to this life, something more to come, because God put that in everyone's heart. There might be a lot of things blocking people from thinking about that or trying to think about that because they're putting everything else in its place. But they can't help it because God's put that in our heart. Ron?
When I think of that, I think of the immortality that we all possess. You know, we call it eternity here, but it's immortality. And that's something that our bodies age on the outside,
but our soul on the inside, we all still. Our souls, and I think that's that eternity in the heart is where that's coming from. We all look at each other, and it's always interesting to me when I look at a group of people, you know, especially if I'm at places where there's a whole lot of people, how everybody looks different. I mean, every one of us here, even if we had a couple of twins in here, I think, you know, we'd see some differences. But you look around, every one of us look physically different. But we all have, of course, one thing in common, and that is what we have in Christ. And those souls, we have no idea what that's going to look like. And part of that is because we just have the physical in our mind. We have these limited minds that too often think of only the physical. We don't have the answer to what we're going to become when we are changed in the twinkling of an eye. But it can only be far beyond what we can imagine because of who God is and what He's promised and what He's done for us. But He's given us that eternity in our heart. So with that in mind then, and when you think about Psalm 119, think about all these passages. And I think this was probably the biggest slide, wasn't it, with as many phrases and words related to blessing and eternity. Blessed are you Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who keep his testimonies. And of course, blessing, again, all these are related to God's word. The Lord is my portion, a companion of all who fear you. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord. You are good and do good, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You are my hiding place and my shield. Be gracious to me, as is your way, with those who love your name. And then think about the eternity, or as Ron said, the immortality here next. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. I've seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Even better than perfect. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You've established the earth and it stands fast. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. So think about God and his blessing in our life. All these phrases just from Psalm 119. Again, I would encourage you to broaden your study after this month. We have one more lesson for this study. And continue to look. That's what I plan to do, is build upon this particular lesson as we think about God's word throughout Scripture. And we need to, you know, not just in the world, but of course in the church, we need to always be mindful of his word, and it's his word. What, in other words, the question we should ask is, what does God say? Not, well, what do we think? Would God be okay with this? That's not the question we should ask. It would be simply just, what's God say? And study to that end. John, go back to that slide that kind of, right before these six, that kind of put them all in, all together on one slide. Yeah. So the wonder and delight, the truth and righteousness, the life and salvation, the strength and courage, the understanding, wisdom, blessing, and eternity, all from Psalm 119 that we can see in his word. And again, I want you to think about, just like some of the scriptures we had at the headings of this, what else related to these things can we see throughout his entire word, of who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. And then go back through, back to the other slide, and then the slide after that. We usually run out of time in the next one. We usually run out of time before we get to these. What I try to do is take the 22 stanzas, but encourage you, of course, to look at those. Last week, gave you just a copy of Psalm 119. If you weren't here last week and you'd like one of those, let me know. I don't have extras with me, but I can make you a copy. But what we did that first week, I think it took the first five stanzas. Last week, the next six stanzas. This week, the next five, I would encourage you to read. And again, think of these in light of what we've done. We've looked at all the different synonyms of his word. We've looked at what we do, what we do not do, and how we do it. And then today, as we look about who God is, what he's done, what he's doing, what he will do. So have that all in your mind as we read this one stanza that we have maybe a minute for before the next bell gets us. Forever, O Lord. Oh, and by the way, again, that little quote that's from Erdman's Bible commentary, that's just the author's way of describing this stanza, which for me, as I looked at all these headings for these stanzas, that would be pretty tough to do, I think, to pick one phrase to describe a stanza with what all is contained in a stanza. But this particular stanza, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Of course, that was in our example of eternity. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, it stands fast. That was there too, wasn't it? By your appointment, they stand this day. All things are your servants. That was as well. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. That, of course, came from what we looked at today, too. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I've seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. So a lot of those we looked at, didn't we, in our study today. So read those stanzas Continue to read Psalm 119, of course. Continue to broaden your study as we think about God's Word. Next week, then, we'll conclude this short study of Psalm 119 with prayers. And think about all the phrases. Of course, like I said, you could take the whole chapter as a prayer, but specifically phrases that are prayers. Of course, as the writer prays to God, and then, of course, what we want to pray as we think about God's Word. Thanks so much for being here. Let's all get ready then for our worship time together.